your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Good afternoon, David Britton.
G'day, Johnny.
How are you?
I'm good, and how are you?
I'm good. Hey, interesting news. We've landed on Mars for the 8th time. Well, not people themselves.
Is this a BFM first, is it? Or?
We live on Mars, mate. It's a spot.
Oh, you're there hungry. Go a bit hungry there, yeah?
I'm here. Oh, never fear.
I thought you were just talking about you too.
No. I was talking to the rovers and the space probes heading out to Mars.
I try to keep my head in space as much as possible, if that's what you're getting at, David.
The NASA spacecraft has landed on Mars, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the sort of whiz-bang rovers that they've been landing in recent times. This one's just a lander.
No Matt Damon?
It's not going anywhere. It's not a rover. And it's using some of the technology from 2008. That was a spacecraft that landed near the North Pole called Phoenix. This one's a bit cheaper, a lot cheaper actually, than especially Curiosity, the rover that's got a nuclear power source. This one's nothing like that. So any time they try and get down to the surface on Mars, there's always a bit of a hair-raising thing. But they did it successfully, and the craft is operating as they expected so far.
They have full-on visuals and stuff. Like, what's the delay on that?
The delay is over 8 minutes, I think. It'll actually increase for a little while as Mars is getting further away from it.
Right.
They can't do anything real time. There's always going to be some delay. It can be up to 20 minutes.
Now, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of InSight, this thing which has landed on Mars, to measure or record the interior of the planet?
They don't know a great deal about the interior of Mars, so there's a number of things they're going to do. One is to drill down into the surface, about 3 meters or so. It's quite a depth they're aiming to get down. The other thing is to listen for Mars quakes. They haven't actually had an instrument there that can do that. Just to find out what the makeup, the structure of the interior of Mars. And the other thing is to use the other satellites that are going around Mars with an instrument on the lander that means they can detect the gravitational anomalies and the spin of Mars, so they can get a better, more precise measurement of what the Mars spin is doing.
Mm. I think the most that I took from that was actually a shout out to whoever coined the word earthquake. They obviously had quite a lot of forethought, the fact that there's going to be quakes on other planets at some point.
Oh, yeah, well, they've had seismographs on the moon for decades.
Fantastic.
They've recorded moonquakes.
I've never heard of a moonquake, though.
Earthquake on a moon?
No, it would be an earthquake.
It
would be
a moonquake.
Yeah, so we just have quakes.
Yeah.
But because we're on Earth, it's an earthquake.
That's crazy.
I know,
crazy,
it's my mind's blown.
Crazy. Now, David, they have successfully launched astronauts from Kazakhstan up to the International Space Station, which I know had been a bit of a sore point recently with the failed launches.
Well, that's right. This is the first one since that aborted launch a couple of months ago. They spent a lot of time making sure they had nailed down the problem, which they're pretty sure they had. This was the first launch with astronauts aboard up to the space station since then, and they got up to orbit safely. I don't think they've actually got aboard the space station just yet, but they're in orbit safely, so that's the main thing. No problems on the way up.
So does it take 6 hours to get up there, and they have to go around the Earth 4 times? Is that right?
It's a little different each time. Depends which method they're using. I mean, to get to orbit is something like 8 minutes. But you then have to
get everything
rendezvous
in,
with the space station. That's
line up.
A little extra time.
Yeah. Get ready to dock. So the astronauts are going to have food. They're all sorted. Sweet. Happy days.
Yeah, well, the cargo craft have been going up. Those are robotic cargo craft. There's no one aboard those. They've still been going up, sending supplies and bringing waste back from space station, burning it up in the atmosphere. It's just getting people up there. That's the tricky bit.
Are they still chucking animals up into space, see what happens first, kind of thing? Or they stopped doing that back in the day?
Well, they haven't done that for the reason you're thinking of, checking what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of creatures, organisms have been sent up to the space station.
Plants.
And others.
Right.
On the space shuttle, there's lots of experiments. Spiders in space, ant farms, bacteria, all sorts.
Spiders in space, did you say? That's frightening.
Spiders?
That's frightening. I'm scared. Let's move on.
Now, David, SpaceX have launched 64 satellites. Is this some sort of record in one go? What's the deal there?
That is a record. The other thing with this launch, the rocket that took it up there, it's the third launch that rocket has made. So this rocket has already been up twice.
That's great.
And come back down on this one.
That's
made a safe landing as well.
From what I come to understand of space travel, and it's pretty limited what I understand, but that's kind of one of the biggest problems with space at the moment, or getting mucking around up there, is like reusing the crap that we use. So reusability, you know, like how a plane you can use over and over without rebuilding it.
Well, that's right, and that's one of the things that the space shuttle was meant to address, because that was a reusable spacecraft. The problem there was it cost so much to refurbish the space shuttle every time.
Right.
Yeah.
It actually wasn't as cost-effective as they thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
SpaceX has taken on a different approach, and the rocket that the first stage that goes up comes back down and lands. And this particular rocket is actually launched from the three different launch facilities SpaceX has, one on the west coast and two on the east coast.
Oh, trippy. So it comes down to a different spot and everything.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
One of the things interesting about this, though, the 64 satellites on board, one of the important things about our Rocket Lab, our New Zealand space program, is to be able to launch smaller satellites very, very cheaply, you know, and get into that niche market,
yeah.
Which they appear to be doing. But the problem is, if you've got something like SpaceX that can launch 64 at a time, they've got some competition on their hands.
Yeah, certainly do.
Competition is good, though, I think, at this stage.
It is. Let's hope it pays off for us, though.
Right on.
And now, David, NASA has sent out a probe to an asteroid which is kind of close to Earth. It's called Bennu, is that correct?
Yeah, asteroid Bennu. So it's an ancient asteroid, and the spacecraft has taken 2 years to get there. It's actually been not too far away for a while. It's been slowly coming up to it, because this is a very small asteroid, about half a kilometer in size. It's not very big at all.
Mm.
So it doesn't have much gravity. So you can't sort of just whiz up and slam on the brakes.
Yeah.
There's nothing really to help you know exactly where you are. Remember, you're operating a spacecraft that's millions of kilometers away.
Mm.
So it's now come down to about 20 kilometers of the surface.
Okay.
And it's going to make a number of orbits around it, going from 20 kilometers to closer, to get an idea of the gravity of the asteroid, the actual makeup of the mass, so that they can know exactly how the spacecraft's going to be affected as it's getting closer to the surface.
Oh, you're quite literally the gravity. The pull of the thing.
I mean, it might not be a large asteroid, but it still has gravity, and it will affect the motion of the satellite, of the OSIRIS-REx spacecraft.
Everything has a little bit of gravity, doesn't it?
David, I heard that it's going to stick out an arm and scrape off a bit of the asteroid to bring back to Earth.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, well, the Hayabusa spacecraft, the Japanese one, which is already its asteroid, it'll be doing something similar. It's not going to reach out with an arm. It's going to actually land, and a probe's going to come down from below and pick up a sample. And that's going to bring a sample back to Earth as well.
Worst case scenario, it offsets the course of the asteroid and then heads straight to Earth. Is that sort of...
It's what's that?
Is that the worst case scenario? The arm pushes the asteroid towards the planet by accident, and this time next week we're talking about something a lot more heavy.
I don't think so. It'd be okay. Like an ant trying to push a car.
The story that I read said that this particular asteroid will get really close to Earth in about 150 years.
I haven't read that myself. When you say close, how close did they say?
They just said hazardously close in the article. So maybe they're just scaremongering there.
No, you always got to have a margin of error, I guess, in that sort of thing. Anything that might be in that sort of region can be affected by other bodies, and that is a difficult thing. Computationally is trying to figure that out. The maths and so on involved in trying to figure out the effect of the other bodies on something like this is really difficult. One thing they can do, though, by finding out more about this particular asteroid, which is a different type of asteroid compared with the ones they've been to in the past, is to find out more about that. So if it does get hazardously close in 150 years' time, hopefully we'll have spacecraft that can deal with it and
go up there and push it away.
Better how to deal with something like that.
All right. Hey, well, what's coming up at the Stardome, David?
A couple of things, both called Christmas.
Christmas?
We've got a Christmas night sky. That's a program in the planetarium. So this is the seasonal night sky show, but with an emphasis on things to do with Christmas and, you know, sugar and spice and all things nice, that sort of thing. This is a Christmas tree nebula and other objects that people can learn about in the show. That's our evening show.
I'm just reading a text here, David, while we've got you here. Someone's saying they heard Stardome are doing something at Auckland Botanic Gardens. Is that...
We are.
Can you extrapolate on that while we've got you here?
Certainly. Down at the Botanic Gardens, they've got a holiday program. It actually starts on the 8th of December. That's this coming Saturday. It's the opening day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're involved on three or four different days and nights.
The
best thing would be to go to the Botanic Gardens website and get the details from them. But it's their show, but we're helping out. So I'll actually be at the Botanic Gardens this Saturday from 10 till 3 helping out.
Sick.
And others will be there in the evening on Saturday. And we're also doing different types of things in January and February as well. So all the details should be on the Botanic Gardens website or information there.
Nice one. And also you have Christmas shopping at the Stardome till late. What's late?
Well, till the end of the last show or when people are looking through the telescopes. So that's anywhere sort of between like 10:30 and up to 11, maybe a bit later if the sky is nice and clear.
Okay.
So plenty of things to look for there. Lots of gift ideas, not just for adults, but for children as well, of course. Puzzles, toys, books, all sorts of things. Science kits, telescopes, binoculars. You can get the yearbook there as well. So that'll be up until... the 23rd, Sunday night, the 23rd, will be the last night. We're not open on 24th, the Monday of New Year's Eve. But all the regular hours up till then, so that's Tuesday to Sunday through till then.
Fantastic. All right, David, well, let's do this in 2 weeks' time, and that'll be kind of, I guess we can do a little year recap of what's been going on up in space.
Yeah,
we'll stretch our legs out a bit
this year, so yeah. I hope we don't go on too long.
Nah, mate, fuck you. Who doesn't like talking about space? It's the ever-knowing, unknowing void. It's rad.
We'll have to make more space.
On that note.
Thanks, mate.
See you later, David.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.